Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Be listening in about 10 minutes, and that is when the window opens for you to win Texans-Jets tickets for this Sunday. Good way to cap off Thanksgiving weekend. Texans Jets NRG Stadium. If you want to get tickets, HoustonTexans.com/tickets. Here was David Culley. We just got done sharing the anecdote, or we had audio of David Culley sharing the anecdote of how he committed to several different schools back in his college days before committing to Bill Parcells and Vanderbilt. Is this answer to the Texans offensive line play on Sunday, which despite the win was subpar in many ways? Is this the answer that someone who said yes to at least four different colleges would give?
Simultaneously.
Yeah, yes, simultaneously to four different colleges.
He didn't switch. He just kept those colleges thinking that they had a commitment from David Culley.
Right, and it was so noteworthy that Bill Parcells, the legendary Bill Parcells, nicknamed David Culley Double Cross. Here is David Culley on the offensive line play of the Texans this past weekend.
Well, one of the reasons our pass protection was pretty good, we had no sacks, so we only threw it 23 times. And we rushed the ball without Tyrod 31 times, which has a lot to do with that. The rushing yardage and per carry wasn't there, but the attempts were there. And that was important to be able to have those attempts. And when you do that, you know, it takes the pressure off those guys. And when we did throw, most of the time it was off of a play action. And when Ty got a little pressure, he was able to get out and make some things happen on his run. And that was all on with his feet. And that was all because of us being able to run the ball, attempt to run the ball.
They were committed to attempting to run
the
ball.
Yeah, how did I? Okay, the last part was confusing to me where he said, you know, and Ty was able to get out and do some things with his feet. And that's because we were attempting to run the ball. Like, well, every time I watched him use his feet, it was because they were. You were passing the football, and Tyrod Taylor was under tremendous heat because the pocket was collapsing.
I think, yeah, maybe because the defense was trying to play the run because they knew they were trying to attempt the run. Sean, it made enough sense, okay, that I just wanted to not think about it at all. That basically the pass protection was better because we just decided to – they chose the lesser of two evils.
Yeah.
What Culley figured was, okay – we've got a lead. We could either suck at running the ball or we could suck at passing the ball. The downside is a lot less with sucking at running as long as your defense holds up their end of the bargain, which was, I mean, in the second half, they were three and out over and over and over and over again. It wasn't a winning effort by the offense in the second half. It's just the defense continually bailed them out.
What was weird about that, the three and outs you're talking about, Seth, is that They spent a lot of the first half just running headfirst into the line and hoping they could get whatever they could on the ground, mostly behind the running of Rex Burkhead. But during those drives where they were going three and out, three and out, three and out, there were four straight three and out punts that they had after going up 19-0 in the game.
Yeah,
they had started throwing the football on those drives. Like Tyrod Taylor was like a combined 1 for 7. On those series, so it's like, okay, all of a sudden, the team that wants to run the football, now the time where you actually should be running it just to burn clock. You're up 19-0 in the rain. Honestly, if they had on those, and I was saying this to Clint as I'm sitting there, I said, this is the one time, David Culley, one of the things he said in his preseason press conference was, or it might have been at his introductory press conference, where he was talking about philosophy, and he said, you know, He was talking about turnovers and not turning the ball over. He said, I'm one of those guys, and if we go three and out and punt, that's okay. And I'm like, okay, this is the one game that you've had so far this year where that actually makes sense. It's raining. It's 19-0. Your defense is playing really, really well. If you want to run the ball three times just to burn 2.5 minutes off the clock and then punt it back to them, awesome. They had four drives where they combined to burn 5 minutes off the clock. That's it.
Yeah.
Because they were throwing incomplete passes.
It was it really wasn't until the fourth quarter that they started going super run heavy, really the last few drives.
Yeah.
And it was they also, I'll remind you, they couldn't complete any passes.
Yes.
Yeah. It was, I mean, it was it 1-for-9 at one point?
Yeah.
I think that's in the second half. So I guess they were just so wholly incapable of doing anything in the air. And it was look, the weather had a lot to do with it. I think it's a shame sometimes that when people go back and I'll see this sometimes when people do their film breakdowns, they'll use the All-22. And on the All-22 especially, you can't tell that it's raining as hard as it is.
Right.
You can barely tell on the TV copy. You know, on Sunday's game, you could hear the raindrops more so than you could see them. But the weather, you could almost see from drive to drive, if it was just kind of misting or drizzling, teams could pass the ball. It was those heavy, heavy downpours that were really screwing everything up. So I cut them a break in a lot of ways, not just because of the wind, but because of the weather.
Mm-hmm.
And likewise, you know, the Texans were able to force some turnovers. It wasn't like they were awful duck passes or anything, but the rain makes it a lot harder on a quarterback.
I think, even though I'm saying this about a quarterback who only threw for 107 yards, but if Tyrod Taylor's not their quarterback in that game, they lose the game and they're still trying to score their first touchdown in God knows how long. Actually, I know exactly how long it would be, but I choose not to. It's over now. We can put that in the rear view. Along those lines, Seth, we have a text. The Texans need to sign Tyrod Taylor to a 2-year extension before the end of the year. There are no better options out there for the foreseeable future. I was thinking about this yesterday as I was going on my walk. I would be cool with Tyrod Taylor coming back next year as the starting quarterback for this team. Would you?
Yeah. Yeah, no, 100%. I think he's the perfect bridge quarterback. And I don't like, I think at some point when inevitably, if you do draft a guy in the first round this year, at some point he'll supplant Tyrod Taylor next year. Probably. Unless it ended up being like an Alex Smith type situation in Kansas City, that where you're competitive, maybe you're on track to compete for the playoffs, and then you just keep him in there because you've got a 20th overall pick or something at quarterback. Then maybe you just let that guy sit and wait and see. But I think he's the perfect guy for what this team needs right now.
Yeah, draft. How about draft Malik Willis and keep Tyrod Taylor to kind of mentor him for a couple of years?
Yeah,
that would be pretty sweet.
Yeah, and because Tyrod's a guy that is perfect. The thing that's perfect about Tyrod in terms of being a mentor, perhaps to young players, is that Tyrod really understands his own limitations and works with them. Sometimes maybe a little too much. There's times when he's healthy where you wish he'd be MVP a little bit more aggressive. But he's very careful with the football. He understands when his legs can be an asset, but he also understands when to throw it. And I think he can teach a lot of lessons to a young quarterback, especially because Tyrod was a guy that was on the bench for 3 years before he ever got a chance to start. He had to sit and learn the lessons and pick up a lot of stuff along the way.
If Tyrod Taylor coming back is part of, like, as I think of that, as I envision what that looks like, look, Tyrod Taylor comes back, it's not like all of a sudden you go, there's moves available to them that, eureka, you're a playoff team again. I don't think that happens, but if your offseason consisted of, first and foremost, flipping Deshaun for as much draft capital as you can get, then re-signing Tyrod Taylor as a bridge guy for a year or two, the 2-year deal where the second year is sort of funny money, you know, that kind of thing. You then use those draft picks to fortify, to do one of two things, either fortify a whole bunch of areas or draft Malik Willis. And then you kind of, in free agency, or I'll call it free agency retention, I think you and I, Seth, probably have like 4 or 5 guys in mind that are on these little 1-year deals. And you go, you know what? Bring this guy back on a reasonable two-year deal. You know, there's a few guys. I think, you know, Desmond King this past weekend looked like a guy like that. Kamu Grugier-Hill. You know, as long as it's $2-3 million, I'm not saying that any of these. Malik Collins. Most of them are on defense right now, not offense. And then the last thing, clean out the running back room. Like, clean it out and bring in all new guys. If that's the to-do list, like if those are the things that Nick Caserio executes this offseason, trade Deshaun for a bunch of draft capital, bring back Tyrod Taylor, knowing what he's going to be for this team. He's a pure bridge guy. use all the draft capital to strengthen your team or maybe draft a quarterback. Willis is the guy that excites me. Keep the guys you want to keep and move on from every single running back on this team. I think that's the checklist and he puts green check marks next to all those, that's a good offseason to me.
You know, Sean, I used to say that I thought that New England ruined Bill O'Brien in some respects, and a lot of offensive minds in some respects, because Tom Brady makes some of the things that seem like they shouldn't be that big a deal, like he makes some things that are a big deal seem like they shouldn't be a big deal on the football IQ side of things. I think a lot of people in New England really didn't understand that wasn't a system. That was Tom Brady's system that Tom Brady could run. And other guys might be able to do similar things, but you're not going to be able to do some of the things with other guys that you did with Tom Brady. I think it filters down to running backs where, like, I think of all the various running backs that have looked like studs in New England and then go elsewhere and they're just guys, you know, and they're just disappointments. And that's because they were working with Tom Brady. And I hope that's not what the case was with Nick Caserio this year with these running backs with the Texans. Because I don't, you know what? Yeah, you put any of these running backs in a Tom Brady offense and they'd probably be doing a lot better than they are right now. Because Tom Brady just has the perfect knack for getting the right play called, finding the right matchups for running backs and as route runners and all of that, that you're just not going to have from anybody else. I hope that's not the case. I hope this is just that I hope Caserio was planning on these guys being as miserable as they are, and it's just all part of losing some football games.
Yeah,
because man, this was perhaps the least impressive part of the off-season building program, where you're spending relatively respectable money on all these guys. They extended David Johnson. The only one that showed even any kind of credibility or promise for the longest time was Mark Ingram.
Right.
And you just traded him away.
Yep.
And it wasn't like he was doing great or anything. He was at least credible.
No, but I mean, my God, he was LaDainian Tomlinson compared to David Johnson and Philip Lindsay. I mean, he was in a different league than either of those guys. Text message. By the way, be listening within the next few minutes here. Our next Texans Ticket Tuesday giveaway is coming up. The first overall, okay, I want to put to bed a myth here, Seth, on this text, because we've heard this before. Hey, guys, even if they're not going to draft a quarterback, the first overall pick could be flipped for more picks than the fifth overall pick, it would seem. Here's the problem with that. You only get a bonanza for the first overall pick, or really any high pick, bonanza. If a team is trading up to get a quarterback. Otherwise, you can get stuff, and yes, you probably could get more than you could get for the fifth overall pick, but you're only worrying about having the first overall pick to get a bonanza of draft picks if you already have a quarterback, and there's a quarterback in this draft. For example, like if somehow, I don't know, who was picking quarterbacks high last year? Jacksonville. Let's pretend Jacksonville wound up with the first overall pick this year. They ain't picking a quarterback again. So they would be open for business with the first overall pick. The problem for Jacksonville is that there's not a quarterback in this draft that other teams would want to move up and go get. Take that to the Texans. You're saying, well, if the Texans get the first overall pick, you could flip that for more picks. Only if a team out there wants a quarterback. And by the way, the Texans are a team that wants a quarterback. So if they have the first overall pick and there's that quarterback out there that theoretically teams would trade up to go get, the Texans are going to take him. They're not going to trade down.
Leading into, let's see, this was in 2015, and then you can fill in the blanks after that because you're better with doing stuff off the top of my top of your head.
Okay.
Headed into 2015, there were 9 times where 2 teams agreed on trading the number 1 overall pick. These are the guys they were traded for: Eli Manning, Michael Vick, Orlando Pace.
Wow.
Kajana Carter in 1995, which, remember, back in 1995, that was still when running backs were just as valuable as quarterbacks in a lot of ways. Things were starting to change.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. This is the hazard. The dumbest one ever was Dallas trading up for Russell Maryland in 1991.
1991, yep.
Yeah, but then Jeff George, Irving Fryer way back in 1984, John Elway in 1983.
Yep.
It's almost always a quarterback or perhaps an Orlando Pace type of player. And it's just, that's the, the, The story on the number one overall pick is that it's never as valuable as people think it is, except in RG3 or Andrew Luck RG3 type situation.
That's right. That's absolutely right. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Payne and Pendergast with you here. People are weighing in on the Tyrod Taylor. Should they sign Tyrod Taylor and keep him? There's a lot of people agreeing with that here on the text page. Text message, do y'all think Philadelphia is out on Watson? That's a good question. In fact, that's a question that I actually have. I have that for you, Seth, in the rundown. In fact, we'll hit, you know what, Texter? Sit tight. We're going to hit that in the next segment. We've got big questions coming out of week 11, and I think that's one of them. I think Nick Sirianni, I can't believe I'm saying this because it's Nick Sirianni and he's given some of the most ludicrous sound bites of any coach. They've done a really good job of adapting to Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia. So I don't know. Are they out on Watson? I think the bigger question with Philadelphia, Seth, is probably, would Watson be okay with going to Philadelphia? All indications throughout the whole saga over the summer is no, he would not want to go there.
Yeah, maybe so, things will change.
Yeah.
Especially my hope for maximum chaos is, you know, is that everybody in Miami gets fired. And the new guys in charge don't want Deshaun Watson.
Yes.
I know the owner right now wants him, but if a new GM comes in and is like, listen, you don't want Deshaun Watson for reason A, B, and C, I think that there's a good chance that they wouldn't want him. So hopefully, because then that would bust everything wide open potentially. Because if Deshaun loses like the place he really wants to go, maybe then he'll just be more likely to say, all right, fine, here are the five other places that I would have been okay going.
That's what I'm hoping for with Deshaun. I'm hoping that this thing arrives at Deshaun's side and the Texans sitting down and saying, hey, look, you got this no-trade clause. We gave it to you, and certainly not in the spirit of the way that you're using it. Miami is, and hopefully, like you said, Miami's out. Give us four or five teams. You know what I mean? Like, give us something where we can create a market for you. The problem with that is that Deshaun, if he gives them an option that creates a market for Deshaun, then theoretically, that's an opportunity for the Texans to further weaken whatever team he goes to. You know what? I think that's a fair thing to ask. Like, why would Deshaun do something that allows the Texans to pilfer as much as possible from the team that he's about to go to?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
You know?
Boy, that's a really good point, Sean.
Yeah.
I guess we're just, in that scenario, we'd have to believe that Deshaun actually gives a damn about team success or anything.
Yeah.
I mean, last year he seemed awful happy to accept all the praise for having an awesome quarterbacking performance in a year where the offense wasn't any good.
He did.
He's like, hey, but my passing numbers are good. Yeah, the offense sucks, yeah, but my passing numbers are good.
Yeah, I gave that a pass last year. I'm now angry about that he was doing that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's all right. Go with it.
Okay, good.
You just got to go with it.
Good, yeah, good. All right, good. I feel angry. I'm angry at you.
I pointed it out a lot last year, but I didn't have nearly the same level of over it.
No, he was the most popular athlete in town at the time. So, now not so much.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.